You're on Texas Standard Time.
These days, when we think about countries that pose a threat of nuclear war, the nation on the top of that list is probably, or at least it was, North Korea. But in 1962, that top spot was occupied by the Soviet Union, and those nuclear missiles were pointing at the U.S. at a distance way too close for comfort, specifically Cuba. A new book explores the Cuban Missile Crisis through the little-known story of two U-2 spy pilots. Michael Tugayas is the co-author of the new book, Above and Beyond, John F. Kennedy and America's Most Dangerous Cold War Spy Mission. Michael, thanks for taking a few minutes out to talk with us on the Texas Standard.
My pleasure. Thank you.
For those who don't really know the history, tell us a little bit about what these U-2 spy planes were and the role they played in the Cuban Missile Crisis.
If you could picture a giant glider with a jet engine, that would pretty much be the U-2 spy plane. But they had an incredible capacity to fly high. And when I say high, I'm talking 13 miles above the earth,
wow,
higher than any other aircraft. And so they were invulnerable to Russian MiG fighters. So when the Cuban Missile Crisis began, and the way it began was one of our U-2 spy planes discovered the nuclear missiles in Cuba.
Now, it's something that a lot of Texans may not realize. There's a real Texas threat here because their main base, am I correct in saying, was in Del Rio?
In Del Rio, Texas, yes, and that's where many of them launched from to do their surveillance over Cuba. And then as the crisis went on, they would land at McCoy Air Base in Orlando, Florida, to be a little closer for the next operation. But their families were all back in Del Rio.
Yeah, it's interesting because we talk a lot about the early 60s and the Wright stuff and the NASA program and the experimental rockets and such. But in a lot of ways, there were similarities with these U-2 pilots because they were sort of the best of the best as well, right?
The U-2 program took from the very best of the Air Force, and in the early days, they went through the CIA as well.
Mm.
Yeah, these were top-notch pilots. One of them is still alive, and he's flown every kind of plane imaginable. He says by far the hardest aircraft to fly is the U-2.
You're covering ground here that hasn't been very well reported. How hard was it to get access to some of the documentation that surely this book would have required? I mean, you would have had done a lot of interviews. Who did you talk to? How did you begin this?
A lot of interviews, and they ranged from Khrushchev's son, who lives here in the United States, believe it or not.
Right, yeah.
Sergei Khrushchev, to the last living U-2 pilot who flew over Cuba. And his name is Jerry McElmore. We became close friends. But the book opens up with Jerry, and he's flying over Cuba during the missile crisis, and two surface-to-air missiles come right towards him. And he sees them explode in his rearview mirror, so he banks the plane and gets them on film. But when he lands and tells everybody, hey, now they're firing at us, a three-star general came down from Washington and squashed that information. They destroyed his film of the starburst from the SAMs, and they destroyed his intelligence report.
They just couldn't afford to have it look like they were vulnerable, I suppose.
Yeah, and you know, another, and this is a theory, in Above and Beyond, I explain it a little more in detail, but I think the military did not want this near miss to get back to Kennedy because he might have said, okay, no more U-2 flights over Cuba.
Fascinating. And that says so much about the relationship between the Department of Defense at the time and trust in Kennedy.
Yeah, they were definitely at odds during the Cuban Missile Crisis. The military was for quick and decisive action, a surprise attack right from the get-go. And Kennedy was working on a time frame that he had a little more than 14 days, because that was the estimate of when the nuclear missiles would be operational.
You know, you mentioned that, and it makes me think, I wonder whether you've given much thought to what sort of lessons might be drawn given the current nuclear threats in the world. I mean, obviously, we use a lot of satellite imaging these days. The U-2s don't really fly that much anymore.
Right.
What are the lessons that one can extract from that period?
For me, during the research of Above and Beyond, it was how many times we came within a whisker of nuclear war because of a communication or an unintended consequence. For me, the lesson today is have open communication as best you can with your adversary so there's no unintended consequence of one of your actions.
Michael Tugayas co-authored the new book, Above and Beyond, John F. Kennedy and America's Most Dangerous Cold War Spy Mission. It's very intriguing. Michael, thanks again for speaking with us on the Texas Standard.
Thank you so much for having me.